There's such dramatic things that are taking place right now in every aspect of life. Some of it is very challenging. Some of it is frightening if you really look at it too closely. God gave me a word, just a word in my spirit this last week, beginning of the week, and I didn't know what the word meant, but all of a sudden I just began to hear the word consternation. Consternation. And I thought, what is consternation? And it means to have anxiety, dismay, mostly about something happening suddenly. And as I begin to look at that, I begin to realize that there are some things that are happening and will happen that is going to cause a little bit of consternation in people, and in some people's lives it's going to be a whole lot of consternation because they don't understand their place in God and this world is all they have. We're beginning to experience some dramatic things. I felt a witness in my spirit lately that physically this earth is going to go through some dramatic changes that are going to cause a lot of problems, and we're going to see some devastation in the formation of this earth. There's some pushing and pressing and some things that are happening, and I keep hearing the ring of fire, and I believe the ring of fire in this earth has been ignited, has been activated. And we're gonna see a lot of stuff moving and shaking, and Hawaii. What's going on in Hawaii is just one part of it. But if we understand that God has us, that you know He's gonna take us through. He's got it. He's got the plan. Then we understand that you know all this stuff is not too big for our God. I have no idea the extent that this is gonna happen. And how long it's going to take for this to happen, whether it's going to be all of it happen all at one time or whether it's going to be a succession of things that take place. Not too long ago, several months ago actually, we were here in a prayer meeting and all of a sudden I saw a vision that really disturbed me and I couldn't get it off my mind, haven't been able to get it off my mind since then. And when I saw this vision, I heard statements that came with the vision, and the vision I saw was the land down in the Boot Hill of Missouri suddenly dividing, just opening up. Not just a shaking, but literally a dividing. And I heard these words, blessing out of destruction. And then the really strange one was oceanfront property in Arkansas. Those are the two things I heard when I saw that vision. It's not something that you want. It's not something that we want. But I do know that there's things that are going to take place in this physical world that is going to be a shaking. It's going to be challenging. But that doesn't mean that God is no longer active. Because one of the things that on the other side of that, you know, there's levels. How many understand that there's levels? And if you get caught in one level, then you don't get the full picture. But there are different levels of things that are taking place. There's the physical, there's the natural, there's the spiritual. And on the spiritual side, even though I feel apprehension about what I'm seeing in the natural, yet on the spiritual side, I can't do anything but just rejoice and be happy and be thankful. You know, it doesn't make sense. I come in here yesterday and in the auditorium to pray yesterday morning, and as I was preparing for today, and every time I've been in a sanctuary, I know God doesn't dwell in physical buildings, but for the last 2 weeks, every time I've entered this sanctuary, I've felt this humbling awesomeness, and I've just come in here and I almost don't want to talk. It's strange. And I know God doesn't dwell just in physical buildings, but there's something happening. And when I come out of my office, I always come in here and pray. And when I come out of my office and come around that corner, it's like I want to get down and crawl into the auditorium. And I'm quiet. I don't get loud. It's like I just feel a hush and a stillness. And yesterday morning I come in and as I come around that corner right there, I stopped. Just as soon as I come around this corner right here, I literally stopped. And what come out of my mouth was, "Oh. Oh." I mean, just the presence of God. And in my heart, I thought, what are you about to do? You know? What's happening? Because this isn't normal. I mean, this is just a building. And yet, there's an abiding. There's something happening. And yesterday, most of the time I pray through all the things that we need and all the needs in the church and everything. I couldn't do that yesterday. I knelt down right at this front pew, and all I could do is say, "God, thank you. Thank you that we are in the beginning stages of an awesome move of your presence. Thank you. God, we are in the beginning stages." One of the things that causes us to miss the move of God a lot of times is when God begins to move, the junk comes to the top. And the first thing we experience isn't blessing, but the first thing we experience a lot of time is confusion and hardship and disappointment, and there's all this stuff, but it's the junk coming to the top because the presence of God begins to boil our spirit and our soul to the point that the junk starts coming out. Amen. And that's what we're beginning to see. And so all I could do is say, "God, thank you. Thank you." I said, "God, thank you that the drug dealers in this area are going to have to move on because there's no more business. God, I thank you that the problems that we're seeing, Lord God, the physical and spiritual problems, God, that the people are going to begin to just be whole and well. And God, there's going to be miracles. Thank you for the miracles that are happening right now and the healing." I couldn't ask for anything. All I could do is just worship and rejoice. And again, I didn't get loud, but I was just very quiet because I felt like I was just in this presence that demanded respect and honor. When I come in here this morning, it was the same way. So something is about, God is doing something. It's not going to happen. We have already emerged into it. We've already passed the starting point, and we're beginning to come into it, and God is manifesting and getting ready to show us who He is. Every time I try to ask God, "What should I be doing? What should I be doing?" all I hear is, "I've got this." "No, I need to be doing something." God says, "No, I got this. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it." Amen. I'm the kind of person, I don't like to be lazy. I don't like to be negligent. I want to know what I need to be doing, be doing it. And I've been very aggravated the last several weeks because I feel like something's happening. I feel like I need to be doing something, and my time is just limited, and I don't have much time, and I'm tired all the time from working and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I'm always getting on to myself. You know, I know you're tired, but you need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. And every time I get in the presence of God, I feel God saying, "Hey, thank you, but I've got this." Hey, praise God. I'm a doer. I am a doer, and so it's hard for me just to stand back, but I know I'm not going to be standing back, but God's got this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every time the enemy starts sticking his head up and trying to cause trouble, God says, "Hey, I got this." Amen. We've made some major advances in over in Rwanda and you know, changing things and getting churches back opened up and all, you know, we've been able to meet all the requests. Well, they started coming through again and checking, and now they're making more requests. And I'm beginning to see that there's an agenda. The government has an agenda they are trying to shut the churches down. And there are so many churches and pastors that have been there for years laboring that have been shut down, can no longer have services. They've been shut out. And they're troubled in their spirit, and they're sorrowful. And yet I know that God's got this. Amen. Praise God. Sister Val covered the topics that I'm going to be preaching for the next several weeks. So that was the introductory. Amen. Matter of fact, I started just walk up here and say, keep going, sis. You got it. Come on. But I know I need to present this. What God's given me, I need to present this. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 is in the Amplified Classic Version. It says, my grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being. We talked about that last week. All necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflict. We've talked about fears, agitating passions, moral conflicts. It says, be multiplied to you, that the peace be multiplied to you, in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What I want to talk to you about today is one of the aspects of peace and God's favor is all spiritual prosperity. All spiritual prosperity. Now, we hear a lot about the word prosperity. In the last several years, it's been preached every direction that you could preach it. And some of it has been good, some of it has not been good. Some of it has caused people to abound, some of it has caused people just to go into greed and the need for worldly possessions more than God. But all spiritual prosperity, it is God's will for us to prosper, to abound. Why? Because God is a big God. He's not a small God. It's not God's will for us to be the least of everything, but it's His will for us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. It's His will for the windows of heaven to be open over us so that He can pour out a blessing upon us which cannot even be contained. Amen. That's what Malachi said, that there won't even be room enough for the blessing that God wants to pour out on us. But we have to understand that there are three levels of prosperity. And most of the time, we focus on the lowest level of prosperity, which is financial prosperity. Financial prosperity is the least of everything. It is the lowest. It is the least. Jesus said it's the least of everything. Amen. Even though it's necessary, it's needed, and it's good. Why? Because right now, temporarily, it is the power of purchase. Without it, we can't purchase anything. So right now, in our world, the world we live in, money is the temporary power of purchase. Years ago, it used to be salt. If you had salt, salt was worth more than gold. And so if you had the person that had the most salt, that's why Jesus uses salt a lot in his teaching, salt and light. Because salt was very important. It was more important than money. It was used for a lot of stuff. It was used for preservation of food. It was used for healing. It was a very important part of society. But right now, money is the temporary form of purchase that we have. And I say temporary because it always changes. Amen. Matter of fact, you don't own anything you have anyway. The Federal Reserve owns it. If you think you own your property, just don't pay your taxes. You'll find out that the government owns your property. Everything we have is temporary. Temporary. Remember that, temporary. Let's not spend all of our time and energy trying to get that which is temporary. Amen. Temporary, the temporary power of purchase, God understands that, and He will supply. He will provide. Amen. God doesn't want us out here scratching the dirt for worms like a bunch of chickens trying to survive. He wants us to be blessed and prosper, but that is the lowest form of prosperity. Number two, the second level of prosperity is health in our bodies and in our minds. Physical and mental health is the second level of prosperity. And then the number one form of prosperity is spiritual prosperity. So the highest form of prosperity that we can have in this earth is the fullness of the Spirit of God. And the thing is, if we launch for the fullness of the Spirit of God, if we go after the fullness of the Spirit of God, all these other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. Amen. In the book of 3 John, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." So John was talking about the levels of prosperity, mental and physical prosperity. And then the Bible talks about, the verse we read today is about is more about financial blessing in the fact that we won't have to borrow, that we'll be able to lend, that we'll have more than enough to meet every charitable donation. Amen. So there are, God has blessed us and promised to bless us in every aspect, but we have to get in our heart what is the most important thing that we can go after, and that is the fullness of God, the fullness of his presence. The word prosper means to thrive, to have a prosperous journey. The word prosper in 3 John chapter or verse 2 is all about a prosperous journey. It suggests the circumstances of varying prosperity as week follows week. In other words, everything that we have need of, God has it if we understand where we stand. As Sister Val's talking about today, if we can just figure out who we are, where we stand, and we're going to be, in the weeks ahead, we're going to be starting to move more into the confidence that we have, calm and confident. The confident stance that we have in God, to become confident. How many are more assured when somebody is trying to direct something and they appear confident? If they appear to have anxiety, indecision, we're not going to be ready to just follow after them. We're going to have more questions, you know? We're going to want to know their credentials. We want to know their experience. But if somebody appears to have confidence, then immediately a lot of things are put to rest. And you feel like you can prosper in this endeavor. Confidence is a very important part of the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, the children of God in the days ahead are going to have to understand courage and confidence more than we've ever understood it before, because we are going to be called upon to be courageous and confident. If we are the ones that are full of anxiety, what good are we? We got to be courageous and confident. Amen. I got tickled Sister Chrissy here a while back. She was showing me her greeting when she's applying for jobs or something. She's showing me her handshake, you know, working on her handshake and her approach. And she was giving this very confident look, you know, and you know, presenting herself in a confident manner. And that's very important. Amen. When I meet somebody, if they are confident, then I feel more assured about that person. But when I meet somebody and they can't look me in the eye and they avoid, then I know there's something going on here. Something wrong, you know? I have a tendency, I don't mean to do it, but I have a tendency to look people right in the eye, and people have told me that makes them very uncomfortable. And I don't mean to do that. It's just my nature. I look people right in the eye because your eyes tell me more than your mouth. You know, that's, I don't read lips, I read eyes. Sister Betty reads lips. And sometimes she'll be trying to tell me something I forgot, and I look over there and all I see is her lips moving. I can't read lips. And I'll stop and I say, "I can't read lips, just tell me what you're wanting to say." You know, I don't read lips, don't know sign language, but I know eye language. When I you know, I read, matter of fact, when my kids, boys were young, and they would bring a girl around for us to meet, one of my first things was, if they couldn't look me in the eye, I would just look at them and say, because as far as I was concerned, there was something going on there that they didn't want to come out. And Austin was about to bring somebody home one time, and he said, "Dad, don't look her in the eye." I said, "Why, son?" He said, "'Cause you suck people's souls out through their eyes." And he said, "It makes them feel very uncomfortable." I said, "Well, I don't mean to do that." When you understand who you are and where you stand, where who God is in you, a lot of us have it backwards. We want to know who we are in Christ. I got to tell you something. You don't need to know who you are in Christ as much as you need to know who Christ is in you. When you get that straight, then you don't worry about yourself anymore, because Christ begins to present the best part of you that could ever be presented, because he is the best part. He takes your personality, the best part of your personality, and he manifests the best part of your personality, and he makes up for the weakest parts of your personality and your character. He presents the best you that could ever be presented. When we understand that, and we understand where we're standing, we understand that we are prosperous. Everybody say, "I'm prosperous." You might not have any money in your pocket today, but you are prosperous. I got to tell you something. If you can just tag in to the presence of God today, everything else is going to be okay. But you got to learn to tag into the presence of God. You got to learn how to walk in to the presence of God. We got to learn to live above the other levels, because we're walking in the presence of God, in the kingdom of God, and we're living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And therefore, our body has to obey what the kingdom of God tells it to do, because we are submitted to the highest level of prosperity, and that's the spiritual presence of God in us. And therefore, our finances has to become our servant, and our bodies have to become our servant, because they are under the authority of a higher power, and they are not in charge anymore. Amen. So prosperity is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is prosperity, but it's not about greed. It's not about need. It's about fullness. It's about flow. It's about who you're submitted to. And so the physical and mental thing is the number two part, but the spiritual aspect is the number one. In Philippians 4:19, another verse that we use as our declaration, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, when you're walking in the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, then you have everything that is necessary. He said, "My God shall supply all your needs." Now, Paul is talking to a church that was constantly reaching out and helping in every way they could help, in spiritual and physical and financial. They were being servants and helping. And Paul is telling them, because you have done this, because you have submitted yourself like this, because you have allowed yourself to be tools in the kingdom of God, then my God shall supply your every need, filled to the full according to his riches, the glory of his riches in Christ Jesus. Now, you got glory and riches, the wealth of his riches. The word glory most of the time means the self-manifested nature and acts of God. So when we see his glory, what we're seeing is God manifesting who he is and what he does openly and obviously in our lives. And so we have the riches of his self-manifestation, the wealth of his self-manifestation. Amen. Woo! Praise God. If I can get a hold of that, then there's a lot of other things that won't be necessary. If I could just be transported like Philip, I wouldn't need to have money for airplane tickets. Matter of fact, it would cost nothing. Amen. I like it. I know I bring that up a lot because it's a great desire I have. I do not, you know, I don't like spending hours and hours and hours on airplanes. Woo. For some reason, they make me sick anymore. It is a commitment to God to go on these trips because a lot of times I dry heave the whole time. That is miserable. I spend a lot of my time in those little tiny toilets throwing up and just so sick I can't hardly stand up. And I don't know what it is about airplanes anymore that makes me that way, but I do know this. If God wants me to go to Africa tomorrow, if I have to throw up the whole way, I'm on the plane and I'm going. Amen. Just give me good abs, you know. When you throw up a lot, you get good abs, good workout. But how much would it save? You know, if a lot of times prosperity from the Holy Spirit relieves the necessity of prosperity in a lot of the other ways. You don't need it. So anyway, it says that he will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need. Now, the greatest need that we have, the greatest need that humanity has is spiritual fullness. It's not money, it's not health, it's spiritual fullness. I realize that health is a big thing. I mean, if we don't have health, it's like we have nothing. When our health is taken away from us, then our whole life becomes a slave of whatever sickness or infirmity is trying to take hold of our body. And so to prosper in health is to not be under the power of a sickness or a disease and to be free from that. So we need that. That is a tremendous thing. That's a glorious thing. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to have your spirit completely filled with who God is. In John chapter 3 and verse 6, in the Amplified Classic, it says, "What is born of or from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical, and what is born of the spirit is spirit." So the greatest need that we have, Jesus said it, it's declared all the way through the New Testament, the greatest need that we have is spiritual, the spiritual aspect of our lives. The spiritual aspect. There's when the power of the Holy Spirit is being manifest, then things that have control over our lives now have to become subservient to that which is greater. Amen. If it's addictions, addictions have to become subservient to that which is greater. No matter what kind of addiction it is, our brains are so deceitful that when you start trying to get off one addiction, it will simply reinvent another one. You just move into another addiction because the brain likes to be self-sufficient, but yet the brain craves and has appetites that are destructive to our physical being and our spiritual being. If our brain has its way, it will destroy everything in our life because of the animal appetites and the cravings. It's all about cravings. Addiction is cravings. It's chemical cravings. And most of it has to do with dopamine in our brain, the dopamine gland, something to activate the dopamine gland in our brain, whether it's overeating or whether it's drug addiction or whether it's pornography, no matter what it is, addiction is all about the feel-good drug that God naturally put in our brain. And that dopamine, when it's released in our brain, is the drug that makes you feel like everything's okay. A lot of people, when they begin to become disappointed about something, their brain begins to try to find something that makes them feel okay, and that's why a lot of people turn to drugs or alcohol or immorality. It's their brain is trying to get that drug released, that dopamine released in their brain so that they will feel okay about life. But everything that this world has to offer is temporary and comes with chains that enslave you. But there is one thing that will release more than dopamine in your brain, will release the very power and presence of God throughout your whole being, and your brain will feel the presence of God, and you will be freed. And it does not come with chains or enslavement. It comes with freedom and power and glory, and that's the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. You want dopamine release in your brain? Get in God's presence and start worshiping Him with all your heart. And next thing you know, the whole world is right because you're in contact with something greater than you are. Amen. Just standing here in this auditorium today, I looked around, there are maybe 40 people here, and I stood there and I'm thinking, God, you know, if people could just understand. I mean, when the alarm went off this morning, I threw those covers back and it's like, woo, it's finally here. Sunday's here. Amen. I mean, it's exciting. I don't dread it. There was a time in my life where I dreaded Sunday, and I was the pastor. I didn't want to go. I had to force myself to go because I didn't like it, and I was the pastor. But now I want to get there. I want to get in the presence of God. I want to get with all you people, and I want to hear the worship. I want to get in the presence of God because it is so amazing. I've been in this thing for over 40 years. I've been preaching the gospel for almost 40 years. This August will be 25 years that I've been a senior pastor of this church, and I still get goosebumps every Sunday morning. I am not used to the presence of God. I still treasure the presence of God. Amen. I looked at Damon today, and I mean, Sister Val was preaching some good stuff. I mean, in the presence and power of God, it was like, woo! I mean, I felt the tingling all over my being, and I started crying and laughing, and because there was such a powerful release of the presence of God. And I thought, God, if only people could just experience this. You know, this is where it's at. And I looked over at Damon, and I said, what will it take for us to start live streaming? If we can't get people here, at least we can get them to watch some. You know, if we can get in their homes, maybe we can touch them with the presence of God. Just one song, just something that'll cause them to say, whoa, God's real. And I need God. And he laughed. He said, that's funny. I've been researching it all week. He said, I've already got the cameras picked out, and I'm already picking stuff out. I'm not excited to have my face on TV. Matter of fact, I have to not watch it. Because you pick yourself apart, you know. Last time I saw a picture of me up here preaching, I thought, man, I'm 4 foot wide. That's pathetic. Look that way. You know, you know, some people like to see themselves on camera. I do not. But Jesus said in John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father sent me forth, so I am sending you. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive financial blessing. Oh, that ain't what he said. Have health all the days. No, he said, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So what was it Jesus was declaring as the greatest? To receive the Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then in the first chapter of Acts, verse 5, Jesus said, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with, placed in and introduced into the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. All I can say is, God, introduce your church into the Holy Spirit one more time. Amen. One more time. I read a story the other day about a pastor. I believe, I forget which city it was out west somewhere. Seattle, Washington, or somewhere like that. And he was so frustrated because he had bought into this thing about trying to make the church relevant. And so he had preached through every popular movie, used every popular movie, every popular thing that was out there to try to illustrate his messages, and kept going. And finally he came to a place where he said, I'm totally out. There's nothing left. He was wore out with trying to make the church relevant to humanity. And finally he announced to his church, sent out a message to his church, and said, I'm just not going to be able to do that anymore. I'm just going to go back to preaching the simple gospel. It's like, this is all we got left. No, this is the greatest thing we could ever have. The Holy Spirit. People filled with the Holy Spirit. People empowered with Holy Spirit. People delivered because Holy Spirit has taken control. Amen. Praise God. There's something greater than us, greater than our world, and greater than our needs. And it's the greatest need. You should be baptized, introduced into the Holy Spirit. The disciples said, well, what we want to know is, when are you going to introduce the kingdom of God? When are you going to establish your kingdom here on earth? See, they reverted back to the natural and the physical. That's what they were focused on, and that's what we focus on so much, is the natural and the physical. We look to the natural and the physical to prove to us that God's real or that God's doing something. When if we are in contact with Him and in relationship with Him, we know He's doing something, and then we see the physical manifestation of it. We already hear it. Disciples were concerned, and they asked Him, Lord, in Acts 1 and 5, I believe it is, Lord, is this a time when you will establish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what the time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time. Now, don't we worry about that all the time? We want to know. Which the Father has appointed and fixed and reserved by His own choice and authority and personal power. But Jesus goes right back to the most important thing. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Jesus brought them right back. They said, when is the physical kingdom going to be established? And Jesus brought them right back to, you're going to receive the kingdom inside of you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive ability and power and efficiency. Hallelujah. What an awesome thing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says, now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. We've read this verse before, but we need to keep reading it constantly. The carnal mind is death. We can't figure this stuff out. I can't figure it all out. I don't understand it. I don't understand the actions of people. I don't understand my actions a lot of times. Don't understand what's going on a lot of times. I can't see that far. And yet, I know that I'm connected to God, and I know that God's taking care of it. I know that Holy Spirit has control. And I know that He cares because He's constantly trying to tell people that He cares. Amen. He's constantly trying to get us to understand, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going to be there. He's interested in your life. He's interested in what's going on with you, to the point that He's constantly trying to help you see that and tell you that. Amen. I was trying to get ready this morning. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit told me to send a message to another pastor. And I outlined what was going on in his church. And I told him, I said, look, this can be very discouraging. But it's the beginning of a move of God. And you've got to hang on to that. All the shuffling that's taking place right now, all the things, the moving, the shuffling, all the things that you're seeing in the natural, if you can just focus through that, you're going to begin to see the fruit and glory of His Spirit. And all of us have to understand that. God cares about our lives. He's involved in our lives. And God wants you to prosper and abound and thrive. But if prosper to you just simply means financial blessing, then finances are your God. It's what you're serving. I'm not against financial blessing. I need more of it. But I know this, that too much of it without the spiritual will be my destruction. Amen. We think, oh, I can handle it. What you got to understand is every evil force comes with money. And the more money you have, the more evil is you become surrounded by. This doesn't sell books. You know, if you preach this kind of stuff and write books about this, you know, if you prosper, then evil is going to be, you're going to be surrounded. That don't sell books. But you got to understand, as you grow in the Spirit, see, Jesus even said, it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they said, well, you know, the disciples were perplexed. But Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What was he saying? He said, if you can walk in the Spirit of God, then you can enter the kingdom of God regardless of the lack or the blessing of finances. Amen. I had a vision one time. God showed me a vision. And it was a vision that was very startling. It started off with, I was just praying one day and just walking. And I was just in one of those places where I just needed to get alone, get away from everything, get alone. And I told Sister Betty, I said, let's just go to a park down here, a campground, because I knew there wouldn't be hardly anybody there. And I said, let's just take some lawn chairs, sit down there. I said, I just got to get away from everything. I got to try to sort and file. That's what Sister Betty calls a sort and file. If I'm quiet, she just leaves me alone because she knows I'm sorting and filing. My head's full of too much stuff, and I'm keeping what needs to be kept, and I'm discarding everything else. It's like going through your emails and deleting stuff, you know, and saving stuff. I'm sorting and filing. And we went down there, and we were sitting, and I, you know, I was praying, and I was saying, God, I just need to hear from you. And I told Sister Betty, I said, I just need to walk. I'm just going to go on a walk. And I got up and started walking. And as I started walking, I was just walking along praying and just seeking God. And all of a sudden, I heard the words, I'm going to make you responsible for millions, which sounds like a good thing. But as soon as I heard that statement, I saw a vision. And in the vision, everything that is evil, immoral, and terrible was present. I saw fake people just trying to get something from you. I saw all of this disappointment, and it was just a matter of seconds that I saw that. But it was so pronounced that I heard the words, I'm going to make you responsible for millions. I saw this vision. The next thing come out of my mouth was, I don't want anything to do with it. Because I saw what come with it. You know what I'm talking about? And that's been on my heart and my mind now for years. And I've battled with this thing over and over and over. Just battled with it. Because it's so treacherous. It's very treacherous. But lately I've been saying, God, if you think maybe you've got me to the place where I can be responsible, because that's what he said, responsible. And millions doesn't just mean money, it means people. And I said, God, move us into that if we're able. If we're able. And a lot of you don't understand that. You'd think, oh man, that'd be great. No. Why would I want everything this world has and lose everything I am? Right. See what I'm talking about? What we want to do is we want to abound and thrive because of his presence, because of his spirit. Amen. As you know what, I can take millions of dollars into Africa and I can build churches and I can start clinics and I can feed people and they will go to hell. But if I go in there and do that with the power of God, preaching the gospel and have an awesome move of the Spirit, then they'll be blessed and people will be transformed. See what I'm talking about? It is the spiritual that is the most important. One of the things that I have absolutely loved about Reinhard Bonnke and his ministry is they have always kept the gospel as number one. And millions of people have been born again. And now Daniel Kalenda, who Reinhard Bonnke has trained and brought up as a young man, is taking over the ministry and continuing to do the very same thing, preaching the gospel, seeing people healed. Amen. Seeing people delivered and set free, blind eyes open. Amen. Blind eyes open, deaf hearing, lame people walking. But yet the number one thing that they preach is salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit. We in America have got to get back to the simple gospel. Amen. The simple manifestation of the presence and power. I guarantee you, you know what'll make church relevant to the world again is when people come in here with needs and they meet a God that has all things and they leave here with sufficiency and full and delivered and set free. When addicts come in and the addiction is broken because they've not been regenerated or they've not been reformed, but they have been transformed by the power of God, then that makes all the difference in the world. Amen. The Lord showed me one day and spoke to me, and I saw a vision of we were praying for people here in this church, and the drugs, the chemicals were literally coming out through the pores of their skin in the presence of God. We might have to start wearing rubber gloves just to pray for people. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had to clean the carpet in front of this church every week because people have been set free, saved, and delivered, and what they leave behind, we have to have it clean, professionally cleaned, just because the stuff's been coming out through their skin. You say, Pastor, that's crazy. No, that's spiritual. That's transformative. That's the demonstration. We'll read one more verse, then we're going to close because this is where we're going. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says that you may really come to know. This is an Amplified Classic version again. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Wow. That's what Paul was declaring. That we would be a body wholly filled with God himself. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. That would be amazing. Praise God. I don't care if people think I'm a little weird. or creepy or freaky, because God's working through me. But when the demonstration of God is present, that all makes sense. It's only weird when there's not a follow-through of the presence of God. But when you speak to somebody, when somebody receives the presence of God, when you shake hands with somebody and they can't even talk because they suddenly feel overwhelmed by the presence of God and they are taken back by His presence. When you look somebody in the eye and they immediately understand that they need God. And that's, Smith Wigglesworth was riding a train one time, heading to preach somewhere. And in the morning, he'd been riding in this train car with all these people, and nothing had happened. And he decided that he would go wash up and get ready to eat breakfast on the train. And he goes out, he gets washed up. When he walks back into the train car, this man immediately stands up and yells, "Sir, you've convinced me of my sin." And he hadn't said a word. And people begin to repent in that train car and get saved, and he never said a word. They just come in and they had an encounter with the presence of God. You don't have to do a lot of explaining when that happens, do you? Amen. I forget the name. I think it's the Wesley brothers. I was preaching in a city. I might have that wrong. The name's wrong. But they were invited to this factory. The owner of the factory invited them to come and tour his factory. And they walked in and began to tour the factory. And when they were touring the factory, people began to weep and confess their sins and get saved. And they had revival right there in that factory without even preaching a message. Why? Because spiritual fullness overpowers all other things. Amen. When cancers run out of people's bodies because they've encountered the presence of God, you know that you've got something greater. Prosperity is greater. And we've experienced that and seen that, but we need it. We got people right now that need that to happen in their lives. Seen that happen. Lady come in late one night in a revival service. I was wore out. I've told you the story. I was wore out. I was not friendly. We'd been going for days and days, and it was late at night. I was tired. I've been praying for people. I was tired. I just wanted to go home and rest. I was fatigued beyond imagination. And this lady comes walking in. Didn't come to the service. Didn't go to church. Just come walking in. And one of the ushers come up and told me, he said, "Hey, this lady has cancer, bladder cancer. She's scheduled for surgery in the morning, and she wants you to pray for her." I would like to say that I was full as, you know, just really nice, but I wasn't. I said, "Man, I'm exhausted. I just want to go home." And they said, "Well, she's here." And I said, "Okay, tell her to come up." They'd already done the x-rays, the ultrasounds. They'd already done a biopsy of the tumor. It had come back cancer. They had the pictures. They had the proof of the cancerous tumor in her bladder. She come walking up, and this shows you how awesome the presence of God is. It's so much greater than we are. I was standing right here. She come walking up. Told me she was scheduled for surgery in the morning. I just quickly laid my hand on her head, and I said, "Cancer, I curse you. Come out of her body in Jesus' name." And I sidestepped her, walked out, and went to bed. That's all I did. She went in for surgery the next morning. There was no tumor. It was gone. She was completely healed. I've never heard from that lady since. But she had an encounter with God right there. And it wasn't me. It was bigger than we are. Just a simple prayer. And the tumor ran from her body. Literally dissolved and ran from her body, and she was healed. We've had testimony after testimony like that. We sent a prayer cloth to a man in California who was dying with stomach cancer. Hadn't ate in weeks and weeks. Was dying. Had been in bed and hadn't been able to eat. We sent a prayer cloth. He received that prayer cloth. The next morning after they put that prayer cloth on him, he sat up in bed and said, "I'm hungry." And they fixed something for him. They fixed some breakfast for him. He ate breakfast and he got up and he was healed. See, the spiritual prosperity is so much greater than the other two levels of prosperity, because the other two levels of prosperity come with the number one. If we can just reach past our needs to the greatest need that we have. Father, we just ask you today, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, God, I thank you that we have entered into a powerful move of your presence. Lord, help us to get past all the shuffling and all the things that are going on. Help us to get past the things that are trying to grab our attention, Father God, and help us stay focused on the fact that you are moving powerfully. And God, the transformation of lives is going to be the fruit. And Father, we thank you for that. God, I thank you that you've got the other, Lord, the healings and the miracles and the financial prosperity, all that stuff, God, you've got it. But Lord, what we want more than anything is to be filled, to be a body wholly filled with the presence of God. And Father, we thank you for that today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. As we worship for a few minutes today, just ask God to say, God, fill me with it. Lord, apart from all the needs that I have, fill me with your presence. Because God's able to do it. Amen. My mom's here this morning. She shattered her nose. Her nose was in three different pieces. Her nose was shattered. She had a big rock that went through her nose, a hole like that. Big rock was planted into her sinus cavity. They pulled it out, told her she's going to have surgery. She went back the other day and they told her, said, your nose is completely straight and there's no obstruction. You don't need surgery. Is that not amazing? Amen. Praise God. Besides that, the bump she had on her nose that she didn't like is gone too, because she smashed it flat. She got a nose job all at the same time. You understand what I'm talking about? Isn't that amazing? God is awesome. Just as we worship, I want you to just open your heart today and say, God, fill me. Fill me with who you are. Fill me with your presence. Lord, I just shove all my needs away right now, and I look to the greatest need that I have, and that's your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord.